Welcome to this week's edition of the Bill Elliott Racing Podcast here with Casey Roderick. I'm Doug Fireball Turnbull, and Casey, a couple of busy weeks here for you. You don't have as fast-paced a schedule as your teammate Chase Elliott, but you've been over doing some racing the last couple of weeks. On a small scale, you were doing some on the short track, the quarter mile at Atlanta Motor Speedway, so you weren't racing the big cars over there at Atlanta Motor Speedway, but tell us a little bit about your deal there first weekend in March, racing, what was it, the Legend cars with Bill?
Yes, sir. We had a lot of fun doing that. Too bad Bill didn't get to race in the race with a part failure on his roadster in practice. But, you know, all in all, I think we all had fun. Me and Skip had fun, you know, racing against each other. I had a lead there, and I seen where Max Gresham dropped out. And, you know, there's, what, three or four of us out there. So, you know, to put on a show for the fans, I backed off and ran Skip on the outside for, you know, the rest of the race, just giving the fans something to watch. And I messed up going into one, two laps to go. And, you know, I gave up the win there to Skip, you know, all my mistake there going into one. So, you know, congratulations to him. And, you know, I had a lot of fun doing it. So, you know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and that's cool. You put on a show for the fans, not just interested in running away from the field and lapping them five times, but in the end, of course, you ended up getting that runner-up finish there. So that's cool that you can kind of hot dog it and still almost take the race win. Not a lot of people could brag about doing that, but that was Atlanta Motor Speedway. We saw you over there with your polo shirt on, shaking some hands, trying to get some FaceTime with some of the bigwigs around there too. But then we fast forward to last weekend's event up at Gresham Motorsports Park. I guess that was your second late model race of the season and your first time this year in super late models. Tell us a bit about how it went in that CRA Super Series 125 lap event.
I thought it went great. You know, I was really pleased with you know, my car in the race, and really happy with my team, with my crew chief Jim Barfield, and you know, all the helpers we have, you know, Jeffrey Lovell, Terry Roberts, and you know, several other people we have. And you know, from when we unloaded in the first round of practice to the start of the race, we made a huge improvement on the car. You know, we weren't really, you know, handling too well in practice, and we come in, I run a lap or two, and, you know, tell Jim, my crew chief, what the car was doing, what I felt, and I told him what I felt like we needed to work on, and what I would like it to feel like, you know, through the corners, and you know, certain stages of the corner where we're struggling. And, you know, off all that information, you know, me and Jim Barfield, we got the car really good for the race. So, yeah, I'm just happy the way we progress right there really shows what kind of team we are. And you know, it's too bad we didn't finish the race on a part failure.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit about the part failure. I was calling that race from the tower over there, so we saw you up there. We saw you make that progress through practice, just like you said, and then we saw you get up, run toward the front, and then you had to pull it to the pits a little bit. What exactly happened there on that number 51 Monolith Company's Ford?
Well, we started getting a vibration, really bad vibration, and I kind of knew what it was because we had previous experience in practice with one wheel stud shearing off in half. You know, we sheared off two in the race. So once that started, you know, started the vibration, it just got worse and worse and worse, and eventually broke the wheel. And you know, we had a tire rub from the steering arm there, and, you know, about to puncture the tire there. We were really close to blowing out. So you know, I just hate that happened to us. I think we could have got up with Augie and Chase there at the end and had a pretty good battle.
And you were definitely showing that speed out there on the racetrack. And early in the event, you held in the top five. In fact, you were even running second for a while. And then you're known as a clean driver, but, of course, always a little contact is bound to occur when you're out there racing on a short track, including with Chase. So tell us a little bit about the couple of good saves you made out there, including after that sheet metal scrape there with Chase in the 9.
Yeah, just racing hard. You know, I was running obviously third at that time, right behind Ryan Lawyer. You know, I was just kind of laying back. You know, I had a lot more left in my car, right there behind Lawyer. I was just kind of searching around there to see where, you know, would be the best place to pass Lawyer and try to figure out the move I was going to make. And, before I know, I made a little mistake going into one there and kind of lost my momentum. And Chase had a good run coming off of two. And going into three, we made a little contact. And I had my hands full there for a while, through turn three and four, trying to save it. But, I ain't blaming nothing on nobody. Chase was doing what he had to do to get a good finish and have a good run. But, it's just one of them racing deals, man. We're out there to do one job, and that's to try to win the race. So, just good hard racing there.
And that's definitely, you seem like you have a really good racing head on your shoulders. You just mentioned talking about saving your car until the end of the race, not using it all up in the opening laps, which is kind of what us up in the announcer's booth were wondering about Aki Grill, because he was just able to run away from everyone, but it didn't seem to matter as he was able to stay up there. But then after that, you say you don't hold grudges, just say, hey, it's a racing deal. And that's, folks out there, that's a really good sign of a mature racer coming up through the ranks. Now, the Gresham Motorsports part, that was only its second real event since it's had the big renovation. What did you think about the new track? I know a lot of people had trouble in the bottom of turns three and four, and also coming off of four, as you could probably attest to after losing the handle there after the contact with Chase. What was it like out there, and the Bubba barriers, everything like that? What did you think?
I love the place. They've done an awesome job renovating it and making a really nice facility for the fans and the racers. Anywhere from the bathrooms to the control tower. I mean, just everything they've done is really impressive to me. And you could go in the bathroom and eat off the floor. I mean, that's how nice it was. So
we'll take a picture of you doing that next time.
No, I don't think so. I really like the place, and as far as the racing goes, I think, the more races they have there and get some rubber down on the place, you'll really start getting racy. Right now, with all the rain we've had, it's washed all the rubber off of it, so it's, really kind of slick right now and, struggling for grip. So once they get some rubber down and start working a second groove, I think it's going to be really racy.
And I think a lot of drivers, even the veterans who really like the old Peach State Speedway configuration, second that statement too. Now, Casey, you're obviously in and out of the car throughout the season, a bit of a tapered schedule in comparison to last year. Next time on the track, though, is at Gresham Motorsports Park in 2 weeks, but a little bit different setup for you. Tell the fans about that.
Well, I got about, say, 15 races this year. I think that's plenty to keep me in the seat and, stay busy. What a lot of people don't understand is all the preparation work that goes into these cars. So that'll give us time to prepare for each race and give our best shot for the win each time we get out there on the track. So, I think it's going to be a good thing for us this year for Monolith and Bill Elliott Racing. I'm just proud. I'm thankful for what I have. I could have nothing, so no complaints there. And just appreciate everybody helping me out. Definitely wouldn't happen without Bill and Monolith coming along, and hopefully some other people that may be interested in helping us out.
And you'll be in that car again, like we said, in 2 weeks at Gresham Motorsports Park. You're going back to the Prolet models, though, the crate motors, if you will, a little bit less horsepower. And will you be back in the 51, or are you going to return to the 19 late model that we saw you compete in Speedfest?
Well, I think we're going to, for right now, be 51. I wouldn't mind seeing number 19 back. Not too many people have that number, so... we had to put a 1 in front of the 51 there to make 151 for this weekend. So I don't know what we're going to do there. For right now, I think it's going to stay 51. So we'll just have to see what happens with that.
So, folks, look out for a red number 51 in the Pro Late Model race, Gresham Motorsports Park. We all had to do a double take this weekend in the Super Late race, seeing you in those 51 monolith colors. And that will look, of course, very similar to the ARCA car that you'll be running soon here, coming up very shortly. Well, Casey, thanks for joining us this week and providing your insight and being very gracious and giving all the tools that we need to kind of understand what it's like to be in the seat of a driver. And we'll talk to you as soon as possible, probably after that race coming up at Gresham, March 27th.
I appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Bill Elliott Racing Podcast this week with Casey Roderick. I'm Doug Fireball Turnbull. Tune in soon.